Good evening. In the news tonight, explosions have rocked the nation of Belgium. Repercussions are being felt throughout Europe. President Barack Obama addressed the people of Cuba. Green Party candidate Jill Stein differentiates her campaign from that of Democratic presidential candidate Bernie Sanders. And the New York City Council votes on two highly controversial housing bills. With these and other stories in New York, I'm Linda Perry, and this is some of the news for Tuesday, March 22, 2016. A series of explosions struck Brussels Airport and a city metro station early this morning, killing at least 34 people, wounding at least 150. France 24 reporter Maeve McMahon describes the scene.
I've seen and heard sirens and fire engines all morning, all around the city. I've also seen different parts of the city cornered off where police seem to be carrying out raids.
The Islamic State group has claimed responsibility for the attacks. Belgian Prime Minister Charles Michel has condemned the blind, violent, and cowardly acts. The Belgian government has raised the terror threat to the highest level. The blasts come days after Paris attack suspect Salah Abdeslam was arrested in the Molenbeek district of the Belgian capital. France is now also on high alert in airports, railroad stations, and public spaces, according to France's foreign minister. President Barack Obama spoke this morning to the Belgian foreign minister. He vowed to support Brussels. He said, "We stand in solidarity with them in condemning these outrageous attacks against innocent people, and will do whatever is necessary in bringing justice to whoever is responsible." In the New York City Council today, Councilmember Mathieu Eugene sent condolences from the people of New York to the people of Belgium.
Tous ceux qui viennent de la Belgique et qui vivent aux États-Unis, je voudrais présenter mes sympathies les plus sincères à vous et à tous les membres de vos familles. Aujourd'hui, je sais que la Belgique est en train de traverser un moment très difficile. Nous, de New York et un peu partout du monde, nous sommes avec vous parce que nous savons très bien que la Belgique est un pays de paix, un pays accueillant à tout le monde.
Authorities are increasing security throughout New York City. The NYPD is increasing visible presence of officers on the streets and in the subway system across the city's five boroughs. The Port Authority Police Department is stepping up security at its three major airports. It's also employing high visibility anti-terrorist patrols throughout the PATH system and the World Trade Center site.
As the President of the United States of America, I offer the Cuban people el saludo de paz.
Today is the last day that President Barack Obama is in Havana. He delivered a speech about reconciliation to the Cuban people.
I have come here to bury the last remnant of the Cold War in the Americas. I have come here to extend the hand of friendship to the Cuban people.
Obama said Havana is only 90 miles from Florida, but to get here, we had to travel barriers of pain and separation. Obama said he is calling on Congress to lift the embargo, which he said is an outdated burden on the Cuban people and on Americans in the U.S. who want to work or invest in Cuba. Obama contrasted differences with similarities he drew between the Cuban and American people. As is his way, he spoke about specific people who have been affected by the divide.
So the reconciliation of the Cuban people, the children and grandchildren of revolution, and the children and grandchildren of exile, that is fundamental to Cuba's future. You see it in Gloria Gonzalez, who traveled here in 2013 for the first time after 61 years of separation, and was met by her sister, Yorka. "You recognized me, but I didn't recognize you," Gloria said after she embraced her sibling. Imagine that after 61 years. You see it in Melinda Lopez, who came to her family's old home, and as she was walking the streets, an elderly woman recognized her as her mother's daughter and began to cry. She took her into her home and showed her a pile of photos that included Melinda's baby picture, which her mother had sent 50 years ago. Melinda later said, "So many of us are now getting so much back."
The president spoke of the importance of an open internet across the island for exchanges of ideas and information and about the generational changes he sees taking place in Cuba. Barack Obama ended his speech by saying it's time to leave the past behind and look to the future.
Un futuro de esperanza. And it won't be easy and there will be setbacks. It will take time. But my time here in Cuba renews my hope and my confidence in what the Cuban people will do. We can make this journey as friends and as neighbors and as family together. Sí se puede. Muchas gracias. Thank you.
And you're listening to the news on WBAI in New York.
I want
Today, the New York City Council voted to pass two controversial bills, ZQA, zoning for affordability, and MIH, mandatory inclusionary housing. Protesters who had attended a rally earlier in the day were in the gallery at the City Council. They were first heard as Councilmember Inez Barron explained her no vote.
I want to explain my vote.
Please continue, Councilmember.
Thank you. I want to explain my vote on ZQA and MIH. As I stated at the subcommittee, at the Land Use Committee meeting, I appreciate all of the great work that was done, and I see the differences and the changes that have been brought forth in this final document. But I do not think that it goes deep enough nor broad enough to represent the people.
No clapping, please. No clapping. There will be order in the chamber.
To include the representatives of the people that I represent. And I'm a card-carrying member of the AARP. I've had my card for about 20 years because you don't have to wait till you're a senior to get it. But I just want to say that the ZQA talks about building on parking lots, and if it's a 202 senior development, you need to request a waiver to do anything other than keep it as a parking lot. And I wonder where the city is in regards to making sure that they've made those overtures to have that happen. And then in regards to MIH, I just feel that we haven't done enough to come up with a document that addresses the 58,000 homeless people that we know exist in our city, the people who are living in shelters in my district over which we are oversaturated, and the ability of developers to still continue to have off-site, even though it's been said that there are disincentives for them to do that. But I just don't think that it goes broad enough and deep enough. Most of the people in my community earn less than the $35,000. So, yes, there's a cap there, but it doesn't go deep enough to represent those people in my community. So for those reasons, and to say that the rate of return is not sufficient for developers to be encouraged to have affordable housing, I think that we need to talk about that rate of return and decide who establishes it and what it should be. And as we talk about 25% and 30% affordable, we're saying 70 and 75% market rate. Thank you. I vote no on 334 and 335.
Thank you, Council Member.
I vote no on 334, 335, and 1096A. Thank you.
Did you get that? Thank you, Council.
Then the vote came round to Council Member Margaret Chin, who voted aye.
I stand here today in support of mandatory inclusionary housing and zoning for quality and affordability. I believe they are crucial in the effort to build affordable housing for a city that desperately needs it. I would like to thank our speaker for your leadership, Chair Greenfield, Chair Richard, the land use staff, Raju Mann and his team, and also a special thank you to Roxanne Early and all the community board in my district,
Council Member,
our Manhattan Borough President.
Chin was interrupted by protesters and the gallery was cleared.
If there is no order in this chamber, you will leave.
Council Speaker Melissa Mark Vivarito says she understands this is a very passionate issue.
And we do not take away from people needing the that need the field to express themselves. We've given a lot of room and opportunity for voices to be heard. And as I was explaining to the press earlier, we are in a situation where, as leaders and as legislators, things will come before us where we will not be able to please everyone.
Brooklyn Councilmember Jemani Williams expressed reservations, but he voted for the bills.
I believe the community boards were definitely heard. I wanted to clarify two things on my opposition for MIH. The opposition is not for fear of not having a perfect plan. I also don't believe ZOQA is perfect, but I will be supporting that. It is not for fear of compromise. We did push for a 30% option. I'm proud to have been a part of a group of folks that helped get us to 40% with an average that will get us to 30%. I believe in all of that, and so I'm proud of that. There was one principled objection is what I believe with one simple fix we would have been able to make it truly a mandate. I think it is a very good plan for those of us that welcome low-income units into our communities, but there is no mandate for those who have historically rejected low-income units in their district. And it's not about higher incomes. I believe that those high incomes should be included in all of the rezonings because they need help too. It just shows how much help those at the lower ones need as well to help break up the segregation in the city. I believe a mandatory minimum in all of the options like we did in one would have been very good. I thank my community board 17, 14, 18. There is no perfect plan, as mentioned. ZQA, I think, very much met their needs and the things that were brought up. The one lesson I will say is my hope is we look at communities, black communities, Latino communities, and poor communities as bellwethers of what's happening to everyone else, whether it's gun violence or housing affordability. We often wait until it's too late to act.
In other news, this morning, Green Party presidential candidate Jill Stein appeared on WBAI's morning show. She said polls show that most of the American people are not represented by either the Democratic or Republican Party. Speaking about the Sanders campaign, she said the Green Party has many things in common with his campaign, but the biggest difference is that you can't have a revolutionary campaign in a counter-revolutionary party.
Some of the differences on domestic policy, number one, that maybe this is the biggest one, that our campaign not only supports free public higher education. We were the only campaign to support that in 2012. Now many others have caught up with us, but we are the only campaign that will abolish student debt. That's 43 million young and not so young people. That alone is a plurality of the vote. And if word got out that young people in debt could actually come out and cancel their debt by voting green, that would be enough to essentially take over the election, not only for justice on debt, but for justice on a whole series of other issues as well. Another big one is that my campaign does not support a military budget that's bankrupting us financially and morally. And very specifically, we don't support weapon systems like the F-35 that Sanders supports. We don't support a war on terror that creates more terror. We don't support high-stakes testing, you know, which is devastating for challenged learners and used to justify closing and privatizing schools. And we don't support the human rights violations and war crimes of countries like the Saudis and the Israelis and the Egyptians. We believe that we can have an America and a world that works for all of us, and that we can have a foreign policy based on international law, human rights, and diplomacy.
Green Party presidential candidate Jill Stein on WBAI's morning show. And that's the WBAI Evening News for Tuesday, March 22nd, 2016. The news was produced with Reggie Johnson. I'm Linda Perry, WBAI News, New York.